And good afternoon, Scott Spears along with you here on this Wednesday middle of the week, here in the month of May, 18 minutes past the hour. The sun is out and we could not be happier because the sun is out and because we have a great show today. Two of my favorite people on the program over the next 2 hours. Coming up next hour, we're going to be joined by one of our regulars, legendary comedian Shecky Green, who will share his thoughts on basically anything that comes through his mind in the 45 minutes he's on next hour. So stay tuned. 1:15, a visit with Shecky Green, who back in April, by the way, since we've talked to him last, has turned 93 years old, but you would never know it. I spoke with him last night, and he was out having dinner. So Shecky Green, next hour. This hour, we're joined, as we always are, on the third Wednesday of the month, from 12:15 to 1 p.m., by a lady who feels like family. She, for many years, has been the undisputed queen of helpful hints, from being an author to just an all-around good person. It's always a pleasure, with summer right around the corner, and school just about out, and graduation parties, and weddings, to be joined by our friend, Heloise. Heloise, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay. But, you know, I think I've got this borderline issue again that I've talked about with you before where, you know, I'll start. Yeah, I know. It's always a problem when we start these conversations. It can never just be I'm doing okay. One day we'll get there. I don't know. I don't have a cold. I don't have a headache. But I just feel kind of like, I don't know what it is.
And where do you live? You're in Warren, Ohio.
Yeah.
This could be the beginning of seasonal allergies. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't play well on TV. But San Antonio, we have what we call cedar fever. It's really a mountain juniper tree. And it's one of the only ones or few ones that pollinates in, like, November and runs through, can't run through all the way through the end of Feb. And a lot of people who move to San Antonio and are not aware of this end up with symptoms exactly like you're talking about.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I thought maybe I was having lack of sleep, because sometimes lack of sleep will make you feel, kind of sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
But the last couple nights, I've made sure that I have got plenty of sleep and went to bed early. And I talked to somebody on the phone this morning who said they had been diagnosed with a sinus infection. So maybe it's going around.
Yeah, sinus infections are not good. And they're very, very painful. But back to with the allergy thing, is you may not know that you're allergic to something. It could be some pollen. Who knows? And a lot of people who move to San Antonio and are not aware of this. I was doing business with a large corporation, and they sent in about 8 people. And we met in a conference room, I think we're 2 days running. And this one man kept sneezing, you know, and he'd rub his eyes. And he said, I don't have allergies. Well, I said, I'm sorry, but you're in San Antonio. So, and if it gets worse, then you probably need to go to your physician. But about sleeping, you're absolutely correct. And particularly with all of the electronics that are in our homes, or people have their cell phone and they put it by the bedside, which I understand, which is, can be a very good security issue, but turn it upside down so that the light doesn't disturb your sleep.
What do you think it is about the cell phones? I mean, most people didn't even used to have a phone extension in the bedroom.
True.
But now, we've got to be connected all the time.
And that's one of the other issues. And some large corporations, where they would work on big projects, they would, in with the cell phone, you just text somebody. It may be Saturday and you're with your kids. It may be Sunday. So one of the corporations, and I can't remember which one, I applauded very, very much, who said, unless it's an emergency, you do not need to text this person on the weekend.
Well, I think that's good, because I think it's kind of hurt society in an interesting way, that it seems like now people who are in management have their employees' phone numbers, so there's no way to ever get away.
Well, and that's the other thing. And one of the corporations instituted, I can't remember which one, because I was doing some consulting, but instituted, when they have a conference, when you go into the conference room, there is a table, credenza, your cell phone is supposed to go there, because people weren't paying attention. And you see them looking down at their phone. Well, for heaven's sakes, don't you think you can be unconnected for an hour? Now, if your wife is pregnant or you've got somebody with a health issue that's a crisis, that's one thing. But I was in a meeting and we had lunch. What was I doing? And the assistant, now there's four of us, and the assistant kept looking down, right? And then he'd kind of look up, and then he'd look down. And finally I said, sir, I don't mean to be rude, but if you're supposed to be part of this meeting, and his boss looked at me and said, thank you, Heloise. So I'm really not sure. Let me tell you how bad it's gotten. Remember, like you said, you remember when most people had one phone, and then maybe an extension in the kitchen, and maybe the bedroom. And this generation has grown up with cell phones, and it's gotten so bad that, I'm not trying to laugh at this, but I am, that there are some teenagers who will put their cell phone in a zip bag and take it with them into the shower.
Mm.
Eeks is right. And they feel, they did some studies, and for these kids, if you, mom or dad takes the cell phone away, it's almost like anxiety separation. They feel like they have to be connected with their friends. They have to be connected. And so I don't have an answer. This hint lady doesn't have a hint for that.
You know, it's interesting, though, that you mention anxiety, because when we look at the year 2019 and we talk about hints, and usually hints come out of problems, because you have a problem that you want to deal with and you need help dealing with that.
Correct.
What would you say in 2019 is the biggest anxiety for people that you can help them with, you know, around the house or in the garden or wherever, by giving them a simple hint? What's the most common problem?
It's what I never tell people what they should do is find out. I'll tell you what, here's a good one. You know, you work, you come home, and maybe you do a load of wash, and then you tidy up the kitchen, then it's time for dinner, or even if you order in, or order a pizza or something. And it's what's important to you. Your neighbor may feel that the windows need to be clean and shiny all the time, and it may not bother you, but you may be anxious, or the kitchen has to always be clean. Beds have to be made in the morning. So pick the two or three things that are the most important to you and focus on those. The rest of it can wait.
That's good, because I find that people, when they have a main problem, until that problem is resolved, it just goes on forever.
Yeah. And that's the difficult part. And so the one thing I would say is, if it's you know, or a friend, possibly a coworker, is do the best that you can. And I always say, sit down and put your Heloise hat on, and either on text, on a yellow legal pad, however you want to do it, you can sit at the computer, and prioritize. Oh, God. Now, see, you're doing it, now my voice is going. And it's, it makes people anxious. And we all have enough stress in our lives today, more so than I think 20 years ago, maybe not. And so my mother always said, if there's dust on the end table, go grab a microfiber cloth. And my dear departed Irma Bombeck, who was a personal friend and wrote such fabulous column with humor. And in one of her books, and I had to ask her, I said, did you really do this? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, as a young bride, her mother-in-law would drop by unexpectedly. Which, by the way, you should never do that. Even if you're in the driveway, call them and tell them you're in the driveway. And so Irma always kept the vacuum cleaner and a dust cloth in a corner in the living room. So when the mother-in-law would come unexpected, Irma could say, you know, I was just getting ready to vacuum.
That sounds like Irma Bombeck.
Doesn't it?
Oh,
doesn't
yeah.
Doesn't it? You know, and really it's good advice. Again, as I said, what's important to you? I do want to segue for 1 second when you're with your next guest, Shecky Green.
Yes.
My mother knew him.
Oh, he's something else.
He is something else, yeah. And I think it was when my mother was doing the Tonight Show, and I think Shecky Green preceded her. And so she's sitting in the chair, and he, you know, he's a comedian. And she's trying to talk to Johnny Carson, and he would interject. And here's what my mother would do. She had a great sense of humor. But when somebody does something like that, you're on live TV, for heaven's sakes. She's promoting her book. You know, she had been nervous. It's like you just turn and look at them, and you don't say a word. That stops them in their tracks.
That's a good tip. You know, and it's interesting because I can believe it, because Shecky has been a good friend and a regular for quite some time on this show, and he is just one of those guests where there is nothing planned, and as soon as you start, that's the type of guest you want, where you don't have to do much work.
It's not much work. It's just you never know where the conversation will take you. And sometimes you're in the middle of talking to somebody. Remember, I had my own radio show for 3 years, and I'm trying to watch the clock, you know, for the commercial breaks, and I'm listening to the guests. And we had one that he was a famous hairdresser in Hollywood, and he had really good information, you know, about hair texture and if you're going to color your hair and follow all of the instructions and things like that. But and my engineer is in my ear, and his answers were like this. He was walking around his house with the portable phone.
Oh.
I know. I'm like, could you stop for just 10 minutes?
You know, that is such a common problem in radio that was not there 15 years ago, because if you called into a radio show, it was good because you had to be a landline phone. You
right.
had to be somewhere. But now people will be where it's bad reception. They'll be walking around the house, and that does affect the reception.
It does. So my suggestion is, and finally, when we went to commercial break, and you have to be careful, Scott, you know this, just because they'll say you're off air for the next 3 minutes, you never know. You never know for sure. So you must be careful about what you talk about, even during the commercial breaks. And we had one kid, oh God, he had written a book about the Kennedys. That may have been the title, I can't remember the title. And it's some really good information, you know, kind of this and kind of that, and entertaining, and entertaining. And finally, he wouldn't let me ask him a question. And we go to break, and I'm like, Larry. He says, I don't know what to do. I said, we've got to run through the end of the show. So with radio... radio is more intimate, I think, than other forms, television. Because radio, I can't see you, Scott. You can't see me. But yet we're having a conversation.
Well, that's true. And I've always felt, and it's interesting you bring this up, because we must be of the same mind. And it's not even about microphones anymore. This past weekend, somebody was doing a show here at the studio, and I did not realize that during the break that they were live streaming the show on their cell phone.
Oh my God.
So I know we're at break, and I know the microphones are off, because I can hear
right.
in the other room what's going over the air. But I started to say some stuff, and then I realized... it wasn't anything bad, thank goodness.
No.
But it was just stuff I would not have said on the air, you know, conversational stuff.
Well, exactly.
And then I looked down and I said, "Is that live?" And it was. But thank good, like I say, I didn't say anything that would have been inappropriate. But I've always thought, after doing interviews now for 17 years, that a great book would be During the Break. What people do.
Oh, God.
There have been some moments.
There have been. All right, let me tell you one. You've been on the air for 17 years. So you've had authors on. You know, they're on book tour. Let's interview them. That kind of thing. And one of my second or third, I don't know, I've done 12-something books. We ended up in Orlando. Was it Orlando or Miami? My husband and I were then going to go on to Key West. And so we stopped at the TV station. The host was very nice. And he said, you know, we'll be on the air in 7 minutes. I said, all right, let me go, you know, touch up my lipstick and the whole thing. And here's his question was, where are you on book tour? Now, no one ever asked that, because generally they don't care. Let's just say Truman Capote, whichever the last book was on that noon news show. And so the host is asking a few questions, trying to, and Capote said, well, if you haven't read my book, I'm not doing this interview, and literally got up and walked off live air.
You know, it's a funny thing, because the two that stick out in my mind, and there are a lot of them, one I can't elaborate any more than this, but we had the late Tony Curtis on, who was always a good guest. And Tony liked to tell off-color stories during the break.
Oh, no.
About Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Because of some like it hot. So he would tell these stories in the break that I could never tell on the air because the punchline is words you can't use on the air. So I remember Tony Curtis well for that reason. And then I had one recently, and this person won't mind me saying who they are because it's just a weird thing. But last Christmas Eve, we still broadcast live on Christmas Eve. And I had read a story that the author of Eartha Kitt's Santa Baby was still living and was still well and like 90-something years old. I can't remember his name right now, but he was out in Los Angeles. So I talked to his daughter, and yes, he'll do the interview, and it's Christmas Eve. And what might we talk about on Christmas Eve, the author of Santa Baby? So I get him on the line, and this is why I don't like to talk to guests before we go on the air. I get him on the line because it's Christmas Eve, and I'm the one who actually called him. And right before the theme song is ready to play and I'm ready to transfer him over, he says, "Do me a favor, Scott. Let's not talk about Santa Baby." And I thought, well, here we go. Merry Christmas Eve. What else would we talk about?
Well, you know, Mexican food, Chinese food.
I guess. We got around to it anyway, because after how's your day and how are you going to spend the holidays, we had time to fill.
Well, I agree with you. That's what I say is sometimes the conversation, you never know where it's going to go, you know, but also if it is Christmas Eve, you know, or it's Hanukkah or Yom Kippur or Easter, the logical thing would be, well, let's share some hints about this. But that's why I love live radio. You never know where the conversation is going to take you.
Well, and on that note, there's something I want to talk about that has nothing to do with barbecues or weddings or graduations, although I would like to talk about that if we have time here, but the bathroom in the house. Now, this is a common problem. Sinks get dirty very quickly. Yes. With people shaving and people, you know, applying makeup or whatever they do in the sink, and, of course, the toilet for all the obvious reasons. This is a very used room in the house, and sometimes you have more than one restroom. What is the best way, I don't think we've ever talked about this, to clean those porcelain items?
Well, the simplest, cheapest, and ecologically friendly is a sponge that you only use in those areas, or a microfiber cloth. And you mix up a spray bottle with about three drops of liquid hand soap and then some water. And you can spritz those surfaces and wipe them off with a paper towel. And that'll do it. And the other key is don't wait till it's really gotten gross. You know, clean as you go. So if you go in there every day and wipe off the counter and that kind of thing, it's going to stay in that rotation, and it won't be so disgusting. Oh, you're so funny.
Well, you know, the big one is, I mean, most people can deal with the little stuff, you know, like if there's a little bit of makeup here or, you know, somebody didn't wash the sink out after they shaved.
Right.
They can deal with that. But the big one that I've noticed is, you know, I think they call it soap scum.
Yes.
You know, that is very hard to get rid of.
Well, and that's why I was saying, if you do preventive maintenance, then it won't build up. Now, I'm going to share a story with you, and follow me. This is, I've been lucky enough to do some incredible things. Fly with the Blue Angels and things that I would never have dreamed about. So I was giving a speech in Hawaii, and ironically, in the middle of a book tour, I was going to be back there in 6 days because then I had to fly. And so the women all come up afterwards, and I'm chatting and signing autographs and taking photos, and this group of women said, we're submariner wives. And I said, really? You know what? I said, I'm working on my Get Organized with Heloise book. Who better to learn from than the USS Navy and the submariners? So I got to tour the boat. It was docked, didn't go out. And, I mean, it's fascinating. Actually, so I walk by, and there's one washer and one dryer. And this one had a complement of, I think, 128 men. So when you did your laundry, and there was a stool there, you sat there and watched, or you read a book. Because the worst thing that most submariners fear is fire on a sub. So the lesson is for your listeners and my readers is, you know, don't throw the clothes in the dryer and then just run down the store for something or other. Also, clean that filter every time you do a load of clothes. Because if that filter builds up with lint and things like that, again, it can spark a fire. So on the submarine, all right, now this is not going to be off-color. They have two heads. That means bathrooms. One for the enlisted men and one for officers. So I was like, well, this is fascinating. You know, who? And, okay, one steel sink, and it was either one or two steel commodes, and in the shower, I think it's on my website, as a matter of fact, in the shower, they had a big squeegee and a sign that said, squeegee the walls and the door. If they bring your own soap, take your soap with you and clean out the drain.
You know, it's interesting to me that there would be a hierarchy to which bathroom you could use.
Well, excuse me, yes, that's the way the military works.
Well, that's good. I think in your own home you should have a hierarchy to how the bathroom works.
Well, I tell you what, if you've got and two or three my readers, oh, God bless them, or when I do a speech, you know, and I'm hanging out afterwards and the whole thing, and this is very common. Anybody who has a big dog, it's very common for the dogs to go drink water out of the toilet. And I'm looking at this one woman, and I'm saying, what? And she said, we figured it out. Because she had two sons, and she kept saying, why is it so wet here? Well, it was the dog.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's true. When you have pets, it's kind of strange because you don't think of them as doing mischievous things, but they do.
Oh, you're wrong. You do think of them doing mischievous things, particularly cats. We've had three miniature schnauzers, and now we have a Wheaton, and we've had four or five, as we say in Texas, outside dogs. And my staff, I call them my magpies. They have given me permission. I got lambasted for that one. And, you know, we order in occasionally. And one of my staff would, she didn't want to eat the egg roll right then. So she'd wrap it up and put it in her purse that sat next to her on the floor in the office. And my office is very pet friendly. Right now we have, all right, let's see, we have Mr. Duncan, an adoptee, Miss Daisy, she's precious little chihuahua, my silky Wheaton chamois, and then Ruby, part Catahoula, part something or other. So Joyce, she was getting ready to go home, and she looked down and she said, well, where did the egg roll go? She thought, Well, maybe it slipped down. No, it was my miniature schnauzer who knew and was very quiet because Joyce had her purse open for some reason and picked up the egg roll and ran down the hallway because my office is in my home, one end of my home. And it's a long trek from the office. And the dog was sitting there in the kitchen, I mean, trying to pull the paper off and eating the egg roll. See, it's funny now. At but, the time, it wasn't.
No, there had to be some anger involved at the time. Well, it's, you know, what I was talking about when I don't think people think their pets are mischievous. I have heard people say, when I know they have dogs and cats in their house, and they'll look at, like, their furniture, and maybe it'll have teeth marks in it or something like that, and they'll say, you know, to me, because obviously I'm noticing it as well, they'll say, well, I wonder how that happened. like maybe the husband or wife took a bite out of the sofa.
Got down there and chewed on the piece of furniture?
Yeah. Are totally oblivious that there are pets in that house who tend to do that.
Well, let me tell you, very similar to this is one of the of our adoptee dogs, Sheba, a Kieshund. In America, they say Kiesh Hound, but in Germany, it's Kieshund. And I had an outside tent for them, and it never freezes here, very rarely, and the whole thing. And Sheba, one morning, it didn't matter whether it was winter or summer, one morning, I'm in the kitchen, David's drinking his coffee, and I keep hearing dog tags. And it's not the schnauzer, and I'm thinking, and I looked around, and Sheba kind of stuck her little nose around the corner of the bar. So what she'd been doing is, she would sneak in at night, go into the living room, and my couch is a feather-down couch. It is very comfortable. And she'd curl up and sleep there. And then when she either heard the coffee maker or heard the bedroom door open or something, then she would go outside. So I kind of figured it out. I went in the living room, and there was an indentation. You know how dogs scratch and go in circles and then sit down? And I thought, that sweet dog, she's not going to hurt anything. And so I thought, poor Sheba looked around the corner of the bar, and there was the ogre sitting drinking his coffee. And she couldn't get to the doggy door. Oh, but they bring such joy to us.
That is true. I think a lot about, I read last night where Doris Day, who just died at 97, an Ohio born person, Ohio native, that the only thing she was concerned about, she was not concerned about her money or her funeral plans or anything. She was just concerned about who was going to take care of her animals.
Yes. And that brings up another issue, too, in that way, is because I've talked to some EMTs and police and something, and something happens, and they take the person to the hospital, and they don't wake up. And I said, what happens with the animals? And he said, depending on what it is, he said, we try to find it a home. First you check with relatives. Maybe they'll take it. And he said, I said, well, what was the most fascinating? And he said, Chihuahuas. He said, I'd rather face a Chihuahua. I mean, I'd rather face a German Shepherd than a Chihuahua. So be mindful of that. And particularly if you have animals that can have long lives. We used to have Rocky, a military macaw, you know, Big Bird. Not Big Bird, the Big Bird, but a Big Bird. Well, their lifespan can be, I think it was like 80 to 90 years under good conditions. So if you have a pet like that, be sure and make some plans. Hopefully nothing happens, but And then the other one. See, you never know where the conversation's going to take you.
You never know.
Is one of my friends who was a EMT in another state and city and everything, and I said, you know, what's the most unusual? And he said, we've seen it all. You know, and tell people, this is part of my speech in Hobbs, New Mexico, to the group, is, you know, if you feel like you need to call 911, call them. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. And I said, well, so what's the most unusual? And he said, well, we got in a call, and I think it was a stroke or heart attack. I can't remember the details. And he said the man had laid down on the bed. So we go in there, and we look up, and they had albino. I think it was a python. And they had built a plexiglass thing, like, around the ceiling so the snake could get exercise. That's a little creepy to me.
I think so.
And it's, how do people... I'm thinking, no, you made this up. Because, no. I'm like... And then I checked with a couple friends who in our pet business and animal rescue and the whole thing. And he said, you would be surprised how many people have exotic or unusual pets. You know, snakes. Tarantulas. Ooh, that one just gets me. So, but back to the 911 is that in the audience, I could see her, was an EMT tech. And I was going through the things about, you know, if you feel this and hear the symptoms and that kind of thing and don't hesitate. And I said, ma'am, would you come up here? And she did. I said, would you tell them what you were telling me? And you would have thought it was a plant. And she said, we've seen it all.
Mm.
If you call, stay on the line. Give us your address first. If you think it's a heart attack or a stroke or something or other, mention that. And the audience was enthralled. And then her hint, and we've done it before too, is depending on your age, and if you live alone or maybe you don't, is put a contact sheet with the list and with the list of medications that you are on. Now, she said roll it up, put it in a pill bottle, and put it in the freezer. That's where they would look. My hint was, you know, tape it on the refrigerator. Because if you're in that situation, I can't remember half. You know, I don't take that much medication, but I'm still like, well, I take, well, levothyroxine. So I now have in my wallet a list of my meds, dosage, etc. You know, who my cardiologist is, who my family physician is, and shrunk it down, and it's in my wallet. Because they're going to look in your wallet to see if they can find a next of kin or a contact something.
See, I think that people, and I don't know why, and this is a good tip, as you said, I think people are scared to call 911 because they think it's something minor. Well, yeah. Better safe than sorry.
Absolutely, and you will not have to apologize if it's, there have been so many cases where somebody calls, they think they're having a heart attack, they go, it's indigestion, they ate too much.
Or an anxiety attack.
Or an anxiety attack. So don't hesitate to call. Now, I asked him, he said, well, and I'm a Southern girl, I'm a Texas gal and Southern. You know, I basically say I was born with a mascara wand and lipstick in my hands. But he says we had one woman who she'd called and that she was sitting on the couch because she didn't want to go without her lipstick and her makeup on.
Some people are very proper.
Well, it's not that it's proper. it's like you never leave the house, at least with some lipstick on, maybe a touch of blush. You know, it takes you 3 minutes. And you're going to look better and feel better.
You know, this is a quick segue to make here in the last 3 minutes, and from an interesting subject about ambulances, but I think this, because it's going to be happening here in a couple weeks, Memorial Day comes up, and for those people who are no longer with us, what is a good hint if you do still go to the cemeteries, which a lot of people don't do anymore, if you do still go, something that'll be nice, that will look good in the cemetery, that will have a lasting effort?
Well, a lot of times people will, if you're going to leave flowers, buy plastic flowers, put them in a weighted pot filled with rocks, if that makes you feel good, you know, that kind of thing. But you must check with the cemetery, because some of them would prefer you not to do that.
They do have a lot of rules.
Yeah, as well they should.
You know, the rule I don't understand, though, is because a lot of people are not, they don't know a lot about flowers and gardens and things like that. And I think that you should be allowed to put fake flowers on at least through Memorial Day.
I agree with you.
When they have services. Now, if you want to take them off after that, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they don't leave them on. Because Memorial Day is when a lot of cemeteries have the services.
It's more that, sorry, it's more that it is, how long are you going to leave them? Are they going to fade? You know, is the base of the container you have them in, you get a big windstorm and it falls over. So, you know, they're concerned about taking care of the property. Now, I'll leave you, because I'm looking at my clock, with what, you know, my father was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, and we lived in Washington, D.C., and I was I think 13, 14, 15, or 16, and many of the fathers and mothers who were teaching their kids to drive would take them to the cemetery.
Mm.
What better safe place to learn to drive?
That is true, because there's no moving traffic there.
No, I hope not.
No. you don't have to worry about any casualties.
Correct. And then, on the weekends, the Pentagon parking lot, in certain days and times, you know, is pretty much empty. So you can go over there. This is, again, pre all the 9/11 and security. But you can go over there and say, and teach your child to drive. And they're not going to hit anything. You know, you're in an empty parking lot. And so when we did this, and my father, oh, I adored the man. And he was so patient, because he'd been a pilot. And you know the classic, you know, where they say, now step on the pedal and you go forward, and then when you want to stop or slow down, take your foot off and gently step on the brake. Oh no, it goes ee-oh, ee-oh, ee-oh. I shouldn't be making fun of it, but
oh my goodness.
I know.
But, you know, we all have our pasts. We all have our interesting stories, that's for sure.
We do. And sometimes, at the moment, it may not be funny. You know, my husband and I have had a couple travel incidents. When planes, trains, and buses. Snowstorm came. We were in Lake Tahoe. And I was giving a speech, and David got the last four-wheel vehicles to rent to get out. And they started closing the highways. And there was a commercial bus up there. And David, I was like, David, And he used to race cars in Europe. He's a very safe driver. And I'm like, David, he goes, no, we're going to follow the bus. That bus is going to break stuff away. And if there's a problem and the bus stops, we just stop. And that's what we did. But it seemed like forever. And then I said, David, we're going to laugh at this 10 years from now. And he was like, I don't think so.
Put a little time between it and we'll all laugh. That's right.
Yeah.
Heloise, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I look forward to our conversation in June.
Well, I look forward to it, too. And best Memorial Day for everyone. And for those who serve our country, say a special little prayer.
Absolutely. The people who keep us safe and allow us to do what we do.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Heloise.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Shecky Green coming up in 10 minutes.
If you were a cheetah, you could be here just like that. If you were a kangaroo, well, you'd be here in just a... This is Jungle Jack.